Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, soon to be called Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. This week, we'll be talking about NVDA, Non-Visual Desktop Access, a free and open-source screen reader for use with Windows.
We'll be speaking with one of its co-lead developers, Mick Curran. But first to our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Mick Curran.
We saw a problem for ourselves, and we knew that we had the capabilities of doing it ourselves, or at least to some extent. You know, so we just got out there and tried. It was a risk, but we took it and we solved our own problem. Obviously, we're relying on funding from a lot of people to do it. It's about empowering people, about allowing them to contribute to society.
And what's really neat about that is you'll see that NVDA was, as he pointed out, started because of their own needs. And when it's important to you and it's fun doing it and there's a lot of positive feedback, you'll see the tremendous things that can come out of it for the entire community.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll meet Mick Curran and virtually his co-lead developer, James Tay. Can you start by introducing yourself?
My name is Mick Curran, and I'm a co-lead developer of the NVDA project and also work for NV Access Limited, which is an Australian nonprofit.
And do you have a visual impairment yourself?
Yes, I'm totally blind, and my colleague James Tay, who's the other co-developer, is also totally blind. Yeah, so it's two employees of NV Access, and therefore really the whole lead of the NVDA project itself is... We like to say it's by users for users because designed totally by blind people.
And what was the cause of your blindness?
I was born with partial sight. I was only born with one eye, which wasn't properly formed. So I had a little bit of vision when I was very young, but not much. And then when I was 15, I was going to have an operation to restore some more sight, but it didn't work and I ended up being totally blind.
So did you learn Braille and have these skills since you were young?
I did. I was very lucky that the teachers at my schools made that decision that I would, even though I did have a bit of vision, that I would still learn Braille. I think that's extremely important for vision impaired people, especially, you know, anyone who, if there is a chance that they may lose their vision further on, I think Braille is extremely important. I was a slow Braille reader, but I did have Braille skills all the same, which I think is important. And I still use Braille today, you know, in some capacity, not most of the time. I mean, because in my work, I'm usually using computers and things, but certainly for labeling or just being able to read something that someone gives me, you know.
So when you write programs, do you use mostly speech or a combination with Braille or what?
I tend to use mostly speech. I sometimes get out the Braille display obviously NVDA does support Braille displays, so I'm constantly testing with that. But yeah, my preferred mode is still speech.
Well, it's so much easier to learn Braille when you're young. We talk to many people who become blind or visually impaired older in life, and then they try to learn Braille, and it's a real effort. So if you're young and you think your sight may be decreasing, maybe that's a good time to pick up on it.
Well, and that worked out pretty well for you.
Oh, it sure did. And in fact, I didn't use Braille a whole lot when I was younger because I did see enough to be able to hold a print book a couple of inches in front of my nose and read it. But as Mick said, I use Braille now mostly for functional things, labeling, taking short notes, and things like that.
And when your vision failed, it was a whole lot easier to relearn Braille because you had learned it in the first place as a six-year-old.
Sort of like riding a bike. You kind of never forget. It takes a little bit of practice. I'm a slow Braille reader, but at least I can do it. So can you tell us a little bit about James Tay? I recognize his name from some of the DLs and Sonar scripts, I believe, and some of our other listeners might also.
Jamie and I have been friends for many, many years. We first met each other when we were about 10 years old at a blind music camp. And oddly enough, we didn't see each other for the next 6 years, and then we caught up again when we were teenagers. And since that point, we've actually done a lot of little projects together in the sort of the, in the blindness field and accessibility field, so JAWS scripts for certain things. So we actually started with the scripts for, I don't know if people remember, the old Cool Edit Pro, which eventually became Adobe Audition. We designed the JAWS scripts for that, and then Jamie was a key person in the Sonar scripts, JSonar, along with Victor Tsarin, which is also a friend of ours. So, yeah, we've both had a keen interest in computers all our lives, both totally blind, and have always wanted to improve access for ourselves, I guess, first and foremost. And if other people get something out of what we're doing, then that's a good thing.
He mentioned JSonar, and we actually did a show in which we interviewed Victor Tsarin about JSonar and using it for music production, and that was number 1151, if you want to go back and hear about that.
You are listening to Viewpoints.
This week's focus topic is NVDA, or Non-Visual Desktop Access, which is a free open-source screen reader for Windows. How did you and Jamie get started on the NVDA project?
In 2006, I quit university because I really needed a break from education. I'd always had this little dream in the back of my head of, you know, having a free screen reader for everybody, because I certainly couldn't afford all the updates to the commercial screen readers and things like that. So I did a little bit of a look around on the internet and found that there were some ideas of doing free screen readers. There certainly were already free screen readers for Linux, but not for Windows. And I saw that some people were going to be starting a screen reader for Windows, so I watched the project for a few months and it never really got anywhere, which was sad. I just said, well, no, look, I've got some time, so I'm going to just start something. And so I just sat alone and started. I didn't call it NVDA back then. It was just called Screen Reader. But I started it, and my first goal was to get it working pretty much like Windows Narrator in XP. I got to that point in about July 2006. And about this point, I showed it to Jamie, and, yeah, he thought it was, quote, interesting, quote. You know, he thought it was a fun project and he wanted to participate on it as well. But I don't think really either of us had the idea that it really would get to where it eventually has. But very quickly all that changed. So, you know, Jamie came onto the project and he put his expertise in, and we both worked on it completely voluntarily for quite a while.
So you started out as volunteers just doing this because it was interesting to you, but it's clearly grown way beyond that. How do you fund NVDA?
One very important thing that happened in early 2007 was someone from the Mozilla Foundation, they make Firefox, contacted me and said, we want to make sure that NVDA works well with Mozilla products. So therefore, we want to have much stronger collaboration with you, and we're also going to send you to the CSUN conference in California. That's a, you know, really big disability technology conference. So I was, you know, completely over the moon by that. I mean, I'd never realized that anyone that big was actually watching what we were doing, and it was such a big deal to go there for the first time, just meeting so many wonderful people in the industry, people who believed in what we were doing, people who very clearly explained to me how this project could impact the blindness community. And in regards to things like either helping in developing countries where people could not afford the commercial screen readers, or helping other corporations in making their software more accessible, because just like blind individuals, these companies, if they want to make their software accessible to the blind, they also need to buy these commercial screen readers. And on one way, you can argue, well, but they're corporates, they should have enough money. But the sad thing is that their managers don't think that way, and they won't let them buy the software all the time. So having a free solution is certainly important. So I learned a lot about that, and it really, really spurred us on. It made us realize that this was no longer a toy project. This was something that had to go forward. The community wanted it. So we, at this time, set up NV Access Inc., which was a small incorporated association started by myself, Jamie, my wife, and a friend of ours. We're all blind or vision impaired. And that was just enough to have an entity to bring in some donations and, you know, manage some advertising and things like that. And so that's really how MV Access got started. We're a different structure now. We're now a proper company, a public company limited by guarantee and all that boring stuff. But yeah, that's really how MV Access started back in 2007. And through funding from various companies such as Mozilla, Adobe, Yahoo, and Microsoft, Jamie and I, over the years, have been able to be employed properly. So, yes, we are full-time on salaries thanks to this funding, but obviously working all of our effort to the MVDA project.
Writing a screen reader is a very specialized task. What special skills did you guys have to learn, and what kind of challenges did you have to overcome in order to make NVDA possible?
I think we were already lucky with all the JAWS scripting that we'd done. So we always pushed JAWS scripting to its limits all the time, even with the, you know, all the, whether it was JSONAR or Adobe Audition in my case. So from very early on, we learned about things like Microsoft Active Accessibility and other things built into Windows that help accessibility along, and things that JAWS scripting and other screen readers can use. So doing an actual screen reader from scratch is still much different. And the truth is that there's no documentation out there. I mean, there can't be really, because it's a specialized part of the industry. And let's face it, all the other screen readers were commercial, closed sourced projects. So anything that they had learnt was never, you know, given back to the community. So there was no reference. So all of it is really trial and error, to be honest. It's simply just, does this work? Or, you know, we might read some cryptic documentation from Microsoft one day, or... But the beauty of NVDA, of course, and this is something we really believe in and that we stick to, is that we really strongly believe in open source, and that every time we do make a breakthrough, you know, we will work out how to do something, whether it be how to access something particular in Windows or access to the web, you know, with that sort of flat view. You know, that's all open source in NVDA. So now that we've done it once, if there are other projects like us, other screen readers that, of course, are free, that come along, they have something to learn from. They mightn't do it the same way as us, of course, but there's something that they can look at.
So now you've developed NVDA and it's at its current level of sophistication. Do you do all of your work using NVDA? And how did you start doing your work before NVDA was as sophisticated as it is?
Back in 2006, of course, Jamie and I both did use JAWS as our choice screen reader. I had a very strong goal that I could replace JAWS for myself as early as possible. I remember looking through some very old code a few months ago, and I tweeted this on my Twitter account saying that on the 17th of September 2006, as of yesterday, I stopped using JAWS because, you know, I just added some feature to NVDA that meant that I could fully function, at least for the tasks I needed to do programming-wise. I was able to use NVDA full-time. And so I haven't used JAWS since September 2006 or any other screen reader, to be honest, except, of course, for some testing here and there. But Jamie has used NVDA from about January 2008, I think. He was a bit longer because for quite a while, through 2006, 2007, he was working in another job, not just on NVDA. So obviously he didn't have that much control over what he needed to access. But of course, now we certainly both use NVDA all the time. And well, there are many others using NVDA now.
Why don't you tell us how many people you've distributed this to around the world?
Since June this year, our 2012.2 release has been downloaded over 77,000 times, spanning many, many countries. Now, you know, people can download things twice or, you know, different things like that, but it's probably fair enough to say that it's over 30,000 people who definitely would have downloaded it and used it. Now, in our 2012.2 release, we also added a special automatic updates feature. And one of the side effects to this feature is the fact that each NVDA that is running once a day will contact our servers to ask for an update to see if there is one. Since June, we know that there are 6,000 people on average that NVDA is running every day on a computer. So That obviously doesn't include the people who don't have internet access. That doesn't include the people who might use NVDA along with another screen reader, you know, so they might use it, you know, once a week or whatever, because this is a daily average. But the people who are really, really dependent on it every day is about 6,000 people. And this spans over 120 countries.
How do you support this with just the two of you coding? Do you get a lot of additional enhancements from other users?
Most of our contributors are translators, so people who just translate the interface into various languages. In total, we have about 103, maybe 105 contributors to the project. So as I say, most of those are translators. The core work is done by Jamie and I, and it's probably fair enough to say we do at least 90% of the work. Certainly NV Access is the one who signs off on the final releases, and you know, it's all in our heads what we want the releases to look like. But we have probably maybe five or six really close contributors. They're pretty much at the point now where they can contribute code just like us, as into our main repository. We might do a little bit of reviewing, but we pretty much trust what they're doing. And then we probably have some more contributors, maybe up to 20 contributors who are contributing, you know, every so often, pretty good code, but obviously we're still reviewing what they're doing, and we'll make a final decision on what goes in or not. So we like to say that we run a meritocracy, in the sense that because software projects can have all different types of structures. Ours, we say, is a meritocracy, in the sense that if you can prove that you do good code and it's useful to the community at large, and you're willing to, you know, do the upkeep, then great, you can be a part of our project, and we'll accept your code, and we'll even possibly, you know, accept you as a core contributor.
And what are some of your primary goals?
Our main goal is to support the home user, so someone who just wants to do their email, maybe write some basic documents, play music, go on the internet. But over the years, we've started caring more about school and university, and due to NVDA's portability. It's worth noting that it can be run off a USB key or something like that, and it does not have to be installed. In fact, nothing has to be installed on Windows for you to run NVDA. A lot of the other commercial screen readers, even though they might say they can run off a USB key, you still need to install one of those display drivers or whatever. We don't use any of that. So there's portability. We're also now starting to look, you know, at NVDA in the workplace as well.
What plans do you have for future improvements and additions?
As new versions of software come out or new operating systems, we need to continue to support those. You know, and in some cases that is a lot of work. You know, every new version of Internet Explorer or Firefox or Microsoft Office, you know, it always has its surprises. I can certainly say that Microsoft Office 2013, there's going to be a lot of work for us to do there.
What about providing support for additional programs?
When we were at the World Blind Union General Assembly, a lot of people were coming up to us last week asking us to support Microsoft PowerPoint, because that's something we haven't looked at in the past. We support Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel, Outlook to an extent, but not PowerPoint. And one of the reasons why we hadn't looked at PowerPoint was because, you know, we believed it was sort of very workplace-ish, very, you know, university, which is fine, but we had a lot of other work to do before we considered that. But a lot of people are asking for support for PowerPoint. So we explained, you know, how much of our time and resources that would cost. And I'm very happy to say that the final dinner, a whole bunch of key blindness organizations contributed the funding required to do Microsoft PowerPoint. So you'll see, and hopefully in the next release of NVDA, support for PowerPoint.
So I have one question. You know, you've obviously made this huge contribution to the blindness community, as verified by all of these major organizations pitching in to support you to develop NVDA for PowerPoint. Have your parents stopped giving you grief for quitting university yet?
I think they, look, I was always a very, I was confident in what I did. You know, my parents had to, I love my parents very much, but they knew that if I made a decision, they had to accept it, because there was no way to, you know, change my mind. So they quietly accepted a lot of things. Yeah, I think they're pretty happy with the decision I made. And I mean, and I am too. I mean, because when I quit uni, I always used to say to people, look, I can always go back to uni. You know, it's not the end of the world. No, I'm so glad I did what I did because to actually make a contribution.
Does NVDA work with Windows 8 already?
Yes, it does, to quite an extent. You can use all the same programs you normally would have used in Windows 7 in Windows 8. They'll work absolutely fine. You can use the new Internet Explorer 10 in Windows 8, both the full-screen Metro version and the desktop version. You can use all the other modern UI apps, including the Windows Store and all the other ones you can buy. But look, we can't promise that it will be absolutely great using it. And I think that will be the same with any screen reader. I think there's a long way to go, both for Microsoft and you know, the authors of those apps. It's going to take everyone a little while to get used to how to write useful, accessible apps on this new Windows 8 platform. But, you know, look, try them out, see what works, what doesn't. I mean, some people are reporting that some of them are working very well and some of them aren't. It's worth noting also with Windows 8, we now support touchscreens, I believe, and I could be corrected. From what we know, we're the first screen reader manufacturer, apart from Microsoft, that is because they have their inbuilt narrator, to support touchscreens on Windows 8. So this does mean that you can use Windows 8 without a keyboard.
What voice or voices do you use in NVDA?
By default, it comes with a voice called eSpeak. This is a free voice. It's also open source, and it can speak quite a few different languages, and it's extremely responsive. There are some other voices available. Windows, of course, comes nowadays with some speech built in. And then, of course, there are commercial voices that you can buy. The ones that we promote the most are the Nuance Vocalizer voices. So they're the same voices that you'll hear on your iPhone or your iPad or whatever, or on your GPS in your car. So you can get these Nuance Vocalizer voices specifically for NVDA for about 75 euro, which I think is about 100 US. It's a little bit expensive, but it does come with 36 different languages. So that's more than 36 voices. It's about probably 50 voices, I think, in total. Many different voice qualities. You get access to all of them. It's also packaged as an NVDA add-on, which means that once you install it inside NVDA, it goes with you in NVDA in the sense that if you then make a portable version of NVDA, put it on a USB key, you'll have your wonderful high-quality Nuance Vocalizer voices with you wherever you go.
Can you demonstrate NVDA with a couple of these voices?
This is the eSpeak voice, so I will just open the start menu.
Start menu, search box, edit, search programs, and files, blank.
And I can go down here.
Modular Thunderbird submenu M1 of 10, NVDA submenu M2 of 10, Notepad submenu M3.
So that's pretty much what eSpeak sounds like. It has quite a few different sort of variant voices. Stick with the default one myself. It can speak many different languages, as we said, but I can show you if I change the synthesizer. We'll just do with Nuance Vocalizer. So I'm going to press enter on this.
View submenu Alt plus V. Help submenu Alt plus H. System submenu space.
So that's the Australian Lee voice, Nuance Vocalizer. We've got the other Karen voice, Australian.
File submenu Alt plus F. Edit submenu Alt plus E, format submenu Alt plus O.
And of course, look, we've got 36 different languages, as I said, with Nuance Vocalizer. So any of those voices people have heard on the Apple products, they're all there.
And then as any other screen reader, I suppose you navigate around with the standard Windows navigation commands, and there's custom commands that you probably have. Where can people look for the documentation to learn how to use NVDA?
On the NVDA website, we have a documentation section which always has our latest user guide. The user guide is also available inside NVDA as well. So in the NVDA menu under help.
What's your website?
We have two websites. If you're interested just in NVDA, you can go to www.nvda-project.org. And there you can download NVDA, find out information, participate in development, find other community resources, that sort of thing. That's your one-stop shop for NVDA. If you are interested more in our organization and helping us continue the cause, please visit www.nvaccess.org.
And if anybody wants to contact you, they can do it through either of those websites.
Yes. There's certainly a link on the NV Access website to contact us.
And they really have come a long way with NVDA in the past number of years. This is a fully functional screen reader, and as they said, it's open source and free, and it's really quite comparable to many of the commercial screen readers that cost a lot of money. So you might want to give it a shot.
Now for this week's high-tech item, how you can customize NVDA for your own use or otherwise get involved in the NVDA project.
You mentioned that a lot of these programs like Microsoft Office and others are constantly changing and people want to customize them to how they use it. Does NVDA have any scripting capabilities included?
Yes, it does. Firstly, we have a developer guide, which is found in the development section of our website, and that explains how you can customize NVDA in these situations. So we don't exactly call them scripts, but essentially they're similar. The design is very different to what you may be used to with, say, JAWS scripting or something like that, though we would argue it's actually much more powerful because with our scripting capabilities, you have absolute full open access inside NVDA. So although it might be a little complex, if you really wanted to, you could change absolutely anything in NVDA with the scripting capabilities, because most of NVDA is written in the Python programming language. So our custom scripting is also in the same language. So therefore, because they're all talking together and they can access internals of NVDA, anything's possible really. So we have some examples in our developer guide, and we certainly have a very large community now of add-on developers that are developing, you know, scripts for particular applications, or they might be particular features.
And what motivates the folks at NV Access?
You know, NV Access believes that access to computers is certainly a right, and we believe that blind people shouldn't have to pay an extra cost to technology, you know, compared to their sighted peers. Having said all that, we do certainly rely on donations and funding to keep this alive. So whoever can donate, we are extremely grateful for any donation you can provide. And you can certainly do that from our websites.
And just to repeat, their websites are www.nvda-project.org and www.nvaccess.org. And of course, they have a Facebook page as well, which is NV Access.
And of course, we'll have all of that information in the show notes if you missed any of it. And remember, we've mentioned this a few times now, that the name of our radio show will be changing from Viewpoints to Eyes on Success starting in January. Same show, just a different name.
So right now, you can find those links at www.viewpointsplus.net. Starting in January, you'll want to go to www.eyesonsuccess.net. But don't worry, they actually point to each other.
We'll have both links active for a while to make the transition smooth for people. And if you have any problems, just send us a note to contact@viewpointsplus.net or hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for show number 1250. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about the American Council of the Blind's mission and services, as well as some of their ongoing projects to enhance those. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to contact@viewpointsplus.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.viewpointsplus.net. You can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Viewpoints Plus. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. And remember, beginning in January, we'll have a new name, Eyes on Success.